The scripture is presented to us on this 28th Sunday in ordinary time. Give us the picture of these two banquets. In the first reading, the feast on the Lord's mountain, and in the gospel, this parable of the wedding banquet. And in each case, the invitation to the feast is cast quite wide. The prophet Isaiah says, "The Lord of hosts will provide for all peoples a feast of rich food and choice wines." And the king in the gospel parable says to the servants, "Go out into the main roads and invite to the feast whomever you find." An image for us of the Lord's desire for all to be saved, for all to come to the feast. But then we come to the end of the gospel, this little part that, if we're honest, often grates on us a little bit. For this gentleman has come into the feast without his wedding garment. And the king reacts rather strongly and casts him out. There are conditions, this teaches us, for participating in the feast. Ultimately, these readings are about the eternal feast, the wedding banquet of the Lamb in heaven. But they also speak to us about the foretaste of that banquet in which we are invited to participate here, each Sunday, even every day in Holy Mass. And just as in the gospel parable, there were certain conditions for eating of the king's banquet, so too it's the case, isn't it, that our Lord and the church have certain conditions for us to partake in Holy Communion here at Mass. So I thought in light of this gospel this morning, I would review with you what those expectations, those requirements are for us to participate in Holy Communion, and to reflect with you a little bit about why are these requirements there. Why does the church call us to these particular things? There are three requirements for us to participate in Holy Communion when we come here for Mass. The first, with rare exception, is that we have to be Catholic. The rare exception is that our Orthodox Christian brothers and sisters are permitted to receive Holy Communion in the Catholic Church. Why is it that we have to be Catholic to receive Holy Communion? Well, it's because the Catholic faith in what happens here at Mass is very specific and is different from what pretty much all other Christians believe. For we believe that here in the Holy Mass, the bread and wine, the substance of bread and wine, is changed into the very body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. That the Eucharist is not a mere symbol or reminder of Christ, but his real presence. What the church has come to call the doctrine of transubstantiation. And we have to have that Catholic faith in this reality to receive our Lord here. The second requirement is an hour fast from all food and drink other than water before we receive Holy Communion. Why is this? Well, we're invited through this fast in a very physical, bodily way to remind ourselves that the food of which we partake here is different from any other food that we eat. And that fast, in some small way, allows us to experience a bodily hunger as a reminder for that deep longing of the soul for Christ. Quite honestly, the hour fast really isn't that difficult, is it? For example, here we'll be distributing Holy Communion probably around 9:45, which means as long as 15 minutes before the start of Mass you weren't eating or drinking, you've observed the hour fast. But that hour fast is there for this purpose. And the third requirement for us to participate in receiving Holy Communion is that we must be in the state of grace. This means that, first of all, we've been baptized, for that is how we receive the gift of sanctifying grace. Baptism puts us in the state of grace. But it also means that we cannot have on our soul any mortal sin that we haven't yet confessed and had absolved. Because mortal sin, which St. John speaks about in one of his letters, sin that is deadly, the effect it has is precisely that the life of grace given in baptism dies within us. And just as you cannot feed a dead person food, so the spiritual food of Holy Communion is meant to feed and nourish the life of grace in us. And if that life has died in us through serious sin, it first must be raised again to life so that we can then nourish it with the gift of our Lord's body and blood here. If any of these three requirements are not the case for us, then instead of casually receiving our Lord in Holy Communion, the Church says we should first remedy what is lacking so as to be able to participate fully in Holy Communion. And thanks be to God, there are remedies for these things. If we are not Catholic, if we don't possess that fullness of the Catholic faith, the Church has the great gift of RCIA for those who would like to become Catholic. And if anyone here today is not Catholic and is interested, I don't think it's too late, Deacon Paul, to join the RCIA this year. We've begun, but you could still join us as we work towards the reception of the sacraments at Easter. If we haven't fasted, well, the Holy Eucharist is offered every single day here, and so we can come back next time, having prepared ourselves with that hour fast so as to participate in this banquet. And if we are not in the state of grace, the Lord has given us the gift of confession so that we will never be without the remedy for our sin, so that receiving His mercy there, we can be restored to life in Christ and ready to receive Him in Holy Communion. You know, we could put these three requirements in a positive way. We can kind of give it a positive spin in this way. The wedding garment of faith, hope, and charity is the way that we come to Mass, and specifically the way that we come to Holy Communion so as to benefit mightily from the grace the Lord gives us here. Faith, having that Catholic faith in the Eucharist. Hope, really the hour fast is a kind of expression of hope because it says, I place my hope not in the food of this world that perishes, but in the food that endures to eternal life. And charity really is another word for grace. When we are in the state of grace, we possess charity, divine love. And so while these three requirements are kind of like the bare minimum for us, what the Lord really calls to us is to put on fully this wedding garment of faith, hope, and charity, these theological virtues. And the more fervent these are within us as we come forward to receive our Lord in Holy Communion, the more that sacrament will bear fruit in our lives as we grow in holiness, as we grow in union with the Lord and in love for our neighbor. Let's ask the Lord today for that grace, never to treat the banquet that He lays before us here casually, but then we might always come clothed in that wedding garment of faith, hope, and charity so as to draw deeply from the wellspring of grace offered to us here. St. Gerard Majella, pray for us.